A study this week from the American Academy of Pediatrics found children cared for by the military health system are less likely to be up to date on their immunizations, even though they have universal health care coverage. One reason might be that military families are constantly moving. But defense health officials dispute those findings. They say military kids actually have higher vaccination rates, while also acknowledging they don't have the records to prove it. Dr. Amy Costello is the Chief of Immunization Healthcare Operations at the Defense Health Agency. She talked with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu about why DOD thinks the study is flawed.
The study used the National Immunization Survey, which is a big picture tool that the CDC uses to assess immunization rates for U.S. children as a whole and also to be able to compare state by state. But it probably is not the best tool for assessing immunization rates in military children. There are some gaps in the NIS data, which I think probably prevented them from getting a full picture of military immunization rates. So, for example, definitely the small sample size, but more importantly, the way they define military children is a little bit vague. So the NIS, the National Immunization Survey, the way it works is that the CDC random dials households in the U.S., asks them if they have a child between 19 and 35 months of age, and asks them questions about that child's immunization status. And then they ask them if they can verify that information with the child's healthcare provider. So the way they define military children in that study is the NIS has a question in their survey, and they say, you know, does your child have access to any form of military healthcare benefit? So is your child seen at a military treatment facility? Do they have CHAMPUS? Do they have CHAMP-VA? Do they use TRICARE? And if the parent answered yes to any of those questions, then they were counted as a military child. And so while they may be using some form of military health benefit, it's a little bit vague, again, as to the description of whether or not they're a military child. So people could fall into that category if they were the child of an active duty service member, or if they were the child of a reservist or a guardsman, if they were a child of a retired service member. They might or might not live with the parent who provides that military health benefit. They may or may not be seen in a military treatment facility. In fact, I think most of the children in the survey weren't seen in military treatment facilities. They may be seen in a mixture of civilian and military facilities, either because they move around a lot or because the parents prefer it. Some parents do use both facilities at the same time. And so the definition of military children, I think, was a little bit broad to maybe draw conclusions about one specific system's vaccination abilities or documentation abilities.
But from the perspective of the military health system, I would imagine that you'd care deeply about getting high immunization rates for all of those diverse populations that you just mentioned. So why is it a criticism of the study to say that they included too many people?
So it's not that they included too many people. It's that the people that they concluded were so diverse that it's hard to get, I think, a snapshot of their immunization status using that survey.
I gotcha. Okay. So if we say that there are gaps in the NIS data, do you have better numbers that you feel are more reliable that the military health system looks at when you think about vaccination rates?
So for example, so the Air Force, when we got the study last week, the Air Force sampled their system to look at vaccination rates for children using the NIS criteria and found 81% were vaccinated. And that's probably a low estimate because their system looked at all Air Force children but wasn't able to capture immunization data for Air Force children who are seen in Army and Navy facilities or who are seen in civilian facilities. They only have the vaccination data that's entered in Air Force facilities. And so I think that's the biggest reason why the NIS can't be extrapolated to maybe be representative of all military children is that our children, while we firmly believe that they are getting vaccinated and that their vaccinations are being documented, they're being documented in a number of systems. And so you may have children whose vaccines are documented in the Air Force system or in the Army or the Navy system, or children whose vaccines are documented in civilian systems in whatever way. So civilian providers, they may use electronic systems or they may use paper records. And so there's no one place that compiles all of that data and reports it enterprise-wide. And so for those of us who work in military pediatric immunizations, we're kind of accustomed to that. And so if a parent comes in with their child and we ask at every encounter, you know, what their vaccination status is, and then we compare what the parent says to what we have in our own immunization database, and if the two don't match up, then we start looking in other databases, and we make sure that we've sort of checked in every place that we know of to check before we make an immunization plan for that encounter. So, but if you're not accustomed to doing that, then you might not be able to sort of provide the best data back to the NIS. And so the NIS, I think, probably doesn't have as comprehensive data as they could have about military children.
And the study kind of gets it at that point. They do point out that even though DOD does have an electronic health record, you don't have, as you said, an enterprise-wide immunization registry that looks across all the military services and all your civilian providers. And they cite that as a risk factor for incomplete immunization. Would you agree that that's at least a potential risk for under-immunization?
Sure. I think more to the point is that it results in sort of an increased workload in us because we do patient by patient by patient check the shot records across the databases. So sometimes I'll joke that it takes my technician longer to check in a patient than it does for me to see them, only because that's one of the things that they have to do is get a comprehensive immunization record. So yes, anytime that you have people have to work through complicated systems, you know, when we could have potentially a registry that did it for us, there's always the risk that that something will fall through the cracks. But I think overall, you know, people do the job of working through the different systems.
One thing that's probably an indisputable fact is that the military population is more mobile than the general population. In the survey data, 39% of military kids were living in a different state than the one they were born in, compared to 7% in the general population, which makes sense. Can we stipulate that moving around every couple years is at least a risk factor for lower vaccination rates? And if so, how do you correct for that?
It is. So first of all, the study data actually, I think, kind of was consistent with that. So the only two specific vaccinations that they found that were statistically significantly lower for military children than for their civilian counterparts were their DTaP vaccinations and their polio vaccinations, which are the earliest ones given in life. So they were potentially behind on DTaP and polio, but they were equivalent on MMR, which is given later. And so that kind of does make sense that you know, it would be very unusual for a family to choose not to get the immunizations in the first couple of months of life and then show up later and get their MMR. It makes more sense that there was a different provider earlier and they didn't have access to that record. And so, yes, the MHS is absolutely aware of the fact that our kids are very mobile and we work hard to keep track of them. So one of the things that they do is work on making sure that their well-child visits are up to date. And so, for example, at our clinic, one of the metrics that we look at is the HEDIS metric, and that's not our clinic, I think that's DOD-wide, which looks at how many well-child visits a child has had by the time they're 15 months old. And so since that is a focus of our leadership, obviously, it's a focus of us too. And so typically when kids come in, you know, for any visit or for sick visits in particular, we look to see if they're up to date on their well-child visits, and we try to get them scheduled if they're not. And at the well-child visits, you know, obviously the immunization records are reviewed and updated. But really at every encounter in the pediatric clinic, we pull an immunization record and we look for things that they might need to catch up on.
Even if those Air Force numbers that you cited earlier are closer to the truth, or even if they're even higher than that compared to what the AAP study found, we're still not getting to herd immunity probably, right? And I know that varies by disease, but for measles, for example, I think CDC wants something like 95% immunization, which gets to one of the underlying points in the study, which is, in theory, you've got a population here that should have close to universal health care coverage. And so you would think that their rates would be higher than the general population.
Absolutely.
So do you feel that they are higher than the general population? And if not, why not?
You know, I think actually they probably are. And one of the ways that we look at that indirectly, so we have, I think right now, 78,000 children enrolled in military schools. And we have something like 200,000 children enrolled in military daycare centers. And they all are required to be vaccinated in accordance with CDC guidance in order to attend schools, unless they have a medical or religious exemption. And actually, true medical exemptions to vaccination are rare. And you'd have to check with those systems for their numbers, but I think their religious exemptions are rare as well. So that's one way that we know that our military population is vaccinated. And the other way that we know is that really we're not seeing the outbreaks of vaccine-preventable disease that potentially are seen elsewhere. So for example, we did go back and look at the years that the study covered from 2007 to 2012 in our kids 19 to 35 months of age. We had one confirmed case of measles, and that was in a population of probably close to 500,000 children during those 5 years. So one confirmed case of measles and 7 confirmed cases of mumps. And that's in a population that lives all over the world, including in places that have much higher rates of those diseases than we do. And honestly, that may be sort of another example that the NIS may underestimate vaccine completion, because they say that 78% of American children in general are up to date on vaccination. But fortunately, even though this recent measles outbreak looked big and spread quickly, we didn't see the number of cases that you would expect if our true measles vaccination coverage was 78% in this country.
So if all of that is right, this is more of a data reporting problem than a public health problem. Would it be desirable to get better fidelity on your vaccination rates across the entire system? Is there any effort to do that right now?
Absolutely, because we do. We do it patient by patient by patient right now, which is labor-intensive and time-consuming. So our current electronic medical record is 15 years old. You know, we were leaders in the field in getting an electronic record rolled out in the early part of the century and comprehensive to include all 9.7 million of our beneficiaries. And now we're actually in the process of updating it. And so the next generation electronic health record should be rolling out in the next year or two, and we're eager to see what immunizations capabilities it has.
And particularly with private providers, that seems like a big area, right? Especially if upwards of 80% of your patients are being seen outside of military treatment facilities. Do you get any information that you can look at that can tell you what vaccination rates are from people who are seen in those settings?
Absolutely. So first of all, I don't think 80% of our patients are actually being seen outside, but I think in the study, I think for the people who identify themselves as military and then got adequate responses from the providers, I think 80% of those were seen by civilians. But yes, our children who are seen in civilian offices, we have that conversation at every visit. This is great. Can you bring us, you know, the shot record from that visit? And often moms do, because they do want it documented, and they know that if it goes into the computer system where we are, then it'll still be there at the next base. So they do tend to be pretty good about bringing in their records, although they may not bring them until, you know, the next time they had intended to come in anyway.